I'm thankful that Jesus never fails. There might be a human that you look up to, a man or a lady that's a stalwart Christian leader. Guess what? They can let you down. They're just made of the same flesh as you and me. But Jesus never fails. He never fails. Keep your eyes on Him. God continues to teach us that lesson, but I learned the lesson very young. I was about 19 years old, and there was a situation that took place that I was it shook my world when this came out in a public way, this situation. And but you know, I was reminded that no matter who falls, no matter who fails, I'm thankful that Jesus never fails. He's the rock of ages that never moves. Well, I understand. I've got a few of these announcements here. Larry and Rosanna Eddings are celebrating anniversary. Is that right? Amen. On the 25th. On the 25th. So yesterday, I guess. So that's wonderful. Congratulations. God bless you. And Jim Crawford, I don't see him here this morning. He might be in the service to follow. Jim and Sharon, they have really been through it. But he's celebrating a birthday. And you might, when you see Helen Carlin. Now, Helen is in the class some. There she is. There she is. I see her back there. This is the first anniversary without Jim. And so we're praying for you. God bless you. And who else? There's others, I'm sure, that are having birthdays and anniversaries that haven't been given to me, and I want to recognize you. Who else? Who else? Right here, Lewis. Okay, you're having a birthday, huh? And you're 32. Is that right?
I plead the fifth.
Pleads the fifth. All right. Well, happy birthday. God bless you, Lewis. Who else? Who else? If they won't raise their hand, you tell on them. Anniversary, birthday, anything like that? All right, okay. Well, some people are just embarrassed, and that's okay. But we'll do our best to stay on that. It's good to have Alicia Robles with us again, and she's here with a good report from the doctor. And so we're rejoicing with you about that. And the treatments have gone well, and you've held up in amongst all the side effects of those kinds of things. Good to see you today, and we're rejoicing with you, continuing to pray. And she still has a pretty rough road ahead still, but praise the Lord for all the answers to prayer. So that's wonderful. That's great. If you turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, we're continuing on our study in lesson number 7, a call to forgive. And in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is dealing with something that is part of everything that we, it's in every part of our life, every part of our life. While you're finding Matthew 18, let me go ahead and also mention, this is great news. The DVD of Becky Reynolds, her concert, piano concert, we have those. I believe they'll be at the back there, and so Pastor will say more about that, but you might want to be first in line. I understand that they made 50 DVDs. Now they can make more, they can order more and get that, but there's a limited supply, so I encourage you. It turned out wonderful. And the sound is amazing, and it's just great. You're going to love that. So that'll be a great, great blessing. Last time, we spent some time looking at, in our outline, the participants in forgiveness. And we spent some time in Matthew chapter 18 looking at the king, the one who owed the king, and the servant who owed the one who came before the king. And we looked at all that. We saw that there was an offended party. There is one who sinned, letter B. Letter A, the offended party. Letter B, the one who sinned. And letter C, an omniscient Lord. And we spent some time emphasizing how that we would change how we speak and how we react if we knew that Jesus was standing there. Have you ever heard somebody say when Pastor Reynolds walks up, "Oh, be careful now, the preacher's here"? You ever heard somebody say that? You ever heard someone say, whenever they walked in church and they're talking at church, better watch it, you're in church. You know, we hear those kinds of statements. But we better watch it because God is with us all the time. He sees and hears everything. And just when we think that no one would ever find out, the book of Ecclesiastes talks about, Solomon penned down, a little birdie will give the message. A little birdie told, that came from the book of Ecclesiastes. A little bird will carry it. It's amazing how things get out. So the omniscient Lord. And then we started Roman numeral 2, the principles of forgiveness, verse 31 and 32-33. The forgiveness is preceded by repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of action. We change our mind about our sin. And so forgiveness is preceded by repentance. And we spent some time on that. Letter B, we looked at forgiveness sometimes requires repeating because the offense is repeated. The offense is repeated. And we know that Peter mentioned this to Jesus and said, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? I mean, he's done this and he did it again and did it again. I forgave him. Boy, I'm getting tired of forgiving him. Don't you think God gets tired of forgiving us sometimes? I mean, I don't want to be irreverent, but if I were God, I would be tired of forgiving me. But I'm thankful that my God is gracious. I'm thankful that he is ready to forgive. And we'll look at that here this morning. Letter C, forgiveness is permanent. And we spent some time on that. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath God removed our iniquities from us. Forgiveness is permanent. In other words, when you forgive someone, don't bring that fault up against them again. You know, when you make it right and you reconcile it, then do like God does. Consider it paid for, and then refuse to think about it anymore. Refuse to think about it anymore. Turn a negative thought into a positive. When Satan brings that up and causes it to be a stumbling block, and by the way, Brother John, good to have you back. God bless you. Just saw you there. When God moves upon your heart and to bring forgiveness to a person, and then Satan brings it back up again and reminds you, hey, that person hurt you 3 months ago. Don't dwell in the hurt. Dwell in the healing that God has given you. I'm thankful that God, you forgave me, and I certainly can forgive her, or I certainly can forgive him because of all that you've forgiven me. And I choose to dwell on your grace and your love and your forgiveness for me. So choose not to think about that fault anymore. Don't let it dwell in your heart and in your mind. You can only have one conscious thought in a given moment. So forgiveness is permanent. And then we spent just a few moments as we closed last time on letter D. Forgiveness is unmerited. It's unmerited. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve God's forgiveness. And probably the person who offends us does not deserve for us to forgive them either. And so we're probably more like Jesus when we forgive someone than at any point anything else that we do. So I would hang on to that. That's a great truth. And that's a blessing. All right, so that brings us to letter E. Forgiveness prohibits vengeance. It prohibits vengeance. I'll get even with you. I'll get back. You know, all that. Vengeance is mine, the Bible says. I will repay, saith the Lord. So please understand that forgiveness means that vengeance is off the table. Off the table. 1 Peter 2:23 says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Say, I'll just let someone off the hook. Listen, please, there is a greater judge than you and I. And he is the judge of all the earth. And there is no sin that is not going to be justly dealt with. No sin. Now, you say, well, does that mean my sin is... Well, my sin was paid for at the cross. The song truly says the correct statement, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Salvation pays, the blood of Christ pays for all of our sins. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8. Now, someone harms you, someone harms your family, commits a crime, all that kind of thing. They may get away. And the person, or maybe they might go through the justice system, and maybe there might be a loophole, and they get away with what they had done. How do you deal with that? Remember something. It is not our responsibility to deal with that. God has given us government to deal with that. Before government, God allowed families to deal with that justice matter. He allowed them to do that. Eye for an eye. And he dealt with that. He also gave cities of refuge throughout the nation of Israel, that if someone accidentally killed someone, accidentally did something they did not intend on, they're working together and something happens something flies out of their hand and slices their friend they're working with, and they perish and they die and they cannot stop it. That family has the right to take that man's life. But it was an accident, so God set that up, that if it was an accident, that he could flee for his life to a city of refuge. So God dealt with all of those kinds of things. But hear me, please. There is no court of appeals at the great white throne judgment. God will deal justly and righteously and finally with every crime and every offense. He'll deal with them all. So our vengeance to deal with that, that's just a temporary thing. And please don't take that vengeance into our own hands. As much as we would want to. And most of the time, 99% of the time, you know what we're talking about? We're talking about somebody who said something about us behind our back. They didn't draw blood. They didn't steal money from us. They didn't burn our house down. They hurt our feelings. And so we, in some way, find an opening, and the devil says, you can get them back right here. You can get a little dig right there. That's vengeance. So forgiveness prohibits vengeance. Letter F, forgiveness prevents bitterness. Now this is a help. It prevents bitterness. As I think I mentioned last time, bitterness is like us drinking poison to hurt someone else. That's ridiculous. That's foolish. It's not going to hurt them at all. It's going to hurt us. Watch how much I hurt. I'm going to get back at you. No, that's bitterness is destructive. Hebrews 12, verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. Notice the words root of bitterness. Where are roots? Where are roots? Above the ground or below the ground? Below the ground. Any root of bitterness. Springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. The root of bitterness. You know, people can come to church and they can put on a smile, fellowship time, shake hands one with another, and that person can be holding on to a root of bitterness against the preacher, against the teacher, against a member, against someone in their family, and holding a root of bitterness, and as long as they keep it below the surface of the ground, they think that it will be fine, and I'll just hang on to this because it makes me feel better that I'm not letting this pass. I'm not letting them get away with it. But you know what happens? It springs up at the most unforeseen moment. Whenever we just have our guard down and it just shoots up. Any root of bitterness. And when it shoots up, many are defiled. I can't believe she said that. And they're talking about how all of a sudden she said this or he did that. May I tell you that that came out of a heart that was overcome with bitterness. Now, when we forgive someone, when we forgive them, that root of bitterness is not there. That root of bitterness is killed. Because we're not even allowing the thought to reside in our heart, in our mind. Why? Because of what we just talked about. We're not allowing that to hinder our relationship with God. So we're talking about something that Jesus knew was crucial to our walk with Him, our walk with others. So let's move on to Roman numeral 3 as we complete this, at the priority of forgiveness. Look at verse 33, please, if you will. Matthew 18 and verse 33. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Very serious words. It's a priority that we forgive. It's not really a choice. Letter A, let me give you this thought. That compassion is a priority. Did you see? He said, shouldest not thou also have had compassion? After all that Jesus had done, has done for us in giving us compassion. Psalm 145, verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. He's full of compassion towards us. The Bible says also in Psalm 86, verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. This is the stance of our God. He is ready to forgive. Plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. He's plenteous in mercy. His compassion. His grace. You remember when Jesus was looking at the multitudes? He's overlooking Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How oft would I gathered you as a hen doth her chicks, and you would not? He wept. He wept over those that refused and rejected Him. He wept over them. You know, I think that is something that will help us a lot, is if we get our tears back for souls. And perhaps we could envision the person who has harmed us, the person who has offended us, the person who has talked about us. If we could imagine that person without God's blessing, if they're a Christian, without God's blessing upon their life, without God's protection around their family, all that can happen in their life, and to try to put ourselves in their place, wouldn't it be wonderful if someone would pray and weep over us in our backslidden condition? So if we're the stronger brother, if we're the one who is walking with God, if we're the one who is spiritual, then we need to be the one praying and interceding like Moses did for the children of Israel. He said, Lord, don't destroy them. If need be, take my life. He interceded. Jesus said in Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? He was moved with compassion. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They were lost. Had no direction, had no guidance. Do you have people that you pray for? Are they just your friends and your family? Are they just those that have been good to you? Or do you have people on the list that you really don't like to be around? I mean, all of us have folks like that, don't we? You know, you kind of gel with some folks. And what about those that really, very vocally don't like you? What about those at work, those in your own family, those that used to be a friend and now they're a foe? Do you have them on your prayer list? Had compassion. So compassion is a priority. Jesus exemplified it. It's commanded. He said, you should have had compassion. That's what the king said. You should have had compassion. I wonder when the King of Kings says to us, you should have had compassion on that person. Who is praying for them? Perhaps, I'm just going to throw this in before we go on our next thought. Perhaps God has brought that person's name to the front of your consciousness through something they did to get your attention, to harm you, so that you would have compassion on that person, so that you would pray for that person because no one else is praying for them. Perhaps God allowed it to happen for that reason. And he said compassion is a priority. Okay? Yes, sir. Here's a thought from Brother Jim. Jesus saw something, and he felt something, and he did something. That's good, brother. That's good. Seeing is not enough. Show me thy faith without thy works. I'll show thee my faith by my works. It's good. Good. Letter B. Not just compassion, but obedience is a priority. And that flows right into this. Obedience is a priority. What are you going to do about it? Verse 34 says, And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Wow. Because he did not do what he should have done. He did not do. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, notice here, he did not say sins. That God would not forgive your sins. As far as that is concerned, that is something that Jesus deals with at Calvary. And he offers salvation, he offers forgiveness, he offers payment for our sins. But here's an awesome thought. If we're going to walk in the power of the Spirit of God and in fellowship with our Savior, Jesus Christ, we must do it as we're walking with no unconfessed sin in our fellowship with the Lord. Now, please understand that if I'm out of sorts with my Lord, the Holy Spirit is not free to guide and direct and to bless my walk and my life and my service. He's not free to do that. Sometimes I have to admit, sometimes God uses us in spite of ourselves. Just simply because he needs to. Just simply because there's somebody that needs God's touch. And sometimes he'll choose to go ahead and use someone that he would not use, but simply because they're there. But imagine what God would do and how God would bless you as you're in lockstep with the Lord. You're walking closely with him to where he just whispers in your heart in that still small voice, go to this person, say something to that person, encourage them, hand them a tract, give them something to be a blessing. And you're saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. That's the kind of life that God wants us to live. And that's the kind of life that God's promised to bless and God's promised to provide and protect and to guide. That's the kind of life that is invincible because you are living in the protected will of God. Church history tells us, this is not found in the Bible, but church history tells us that the Apostle John, that as they were persecuting the Christians and persecuting the apostles and they were being martyred and all of this, that they wanted to do something very, very cruel and very excruciating to kill John. And so church history tells us, as best we can understand and accept the truth of this, and I believe it's probably pretty accurate, says that they tried to boil him in oil. Has anyone ever heard that in your study? Yes, quite a few. Tried to boil him in oil. And much like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when Nebuchadnezzar tried to burn them to death, and the fire didn't even touch them, nor was the smell of smoke on their garments, God put a bubble of protection about them, as we would describe it. God protected John because, you see, God was not done with John. John had not yet been to the Isle of Patmos. God was going to reveal through him the book of Revelation. And God was going to bring him back to Ephesus. And God was going to continue to bless and use him. God was not done with him. Therefore, John, walking in God's will, was invincible to man because he was surrounded by God. So that's what we are sacrificing when we choose to hang on to something that someone has done unto us, some little piddly thing. When the King of Kings has forgiven us so much, how can we take this one little thing and let that sever God's blessing and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit in our life? James 4:17 tells us, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So I leave you with these three questions to search our hearts. First, is there someone I have wronged from whom I should seek forgiveness? Think about it. You might want to jot down these questions because these are good inventory questions to check on ourselves, you know, on a regular basis. You do inventory if you own a store, don't you? Grocery stores, we did that. We didn't like it. No one liked doing inventory. And you're not going to like doing inventory personally in your own heart, but it is healthy and it will help us. So is there someone that I should forgive? Someone this month that has done something to me that I took personally, I feel like that they meant to harm me or whatever, and I just need to forgive them. Okay? Number two. Is there someone who has wronged me who I need to confront and restore? Okay, I kind of said the last one wrong. Is there someone I have wronged from whom I should seek forgiveness? Something that I have done. And then is there someone who has wronged me who I need to confront and restore? Now, the thought here is the word confront is a little bit, can be a little bit misleading. With the purpose of restoring, someone tell me why you would want to bring up something to someone who perhaps has done something to harm you, why you should bring that to their attention. Anybody venture a guess? Yes, sir. I'm sorry? To make it aware to them. How many times have you known someone that has said something and they never meant anything by it at all? It just hit the person who heard it like a ton of bricks. And it harmed them, it hurt them, hurt their feelings. Okay? So if you're that one who has been hurt, why don't you go to that person and say, I'm sure that you didn't mean this. And I know I've said things thoughtlessly and stuff, but I got to tell you, this has been bothering me. And I just want you to know, you know, it's okay. This really hurt me when you said that. People have come to me about those kinds of things. And honestly, before God, honestly, most of the time when they have said that, I'm trying to remember what it was that I said. They give the context and I cannot recall what I said. In other words, I did not mean to hurt the person, okay? I did not aim at them and pull the trigger and fire, okay? So when they bring it to me, I say, I am so terribly sorry. I certainly did not mean that in any way, shape, or form. Would you please forgive me? Now, guess what? We can then be restored. In multitudes of words, there wanteth not sin. The more we talk, the more we can mess up. Now, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So we are to try to restore. So if we have done something to someone, if someone has done something to us, and then question number 3, is there someone who has wronged me who I need to grant forgiveness? Notice the word grant. A grant is something that is given that does not need to be paid back. That is God-like forgiveness. And so I hope that these 3 questions will be a help to do inventory and to do something, Brother Jim, to do something about what God has told us. And may God add his blessing to this study. I need this study on a regular basis. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded, because as we serve here in God's army, there'll be some friendly fire at times. And somebody's going to get hurt accidentally. And what do we do when that happens? We deal with it, correct it, restore it, and press on. Press on for Jesus Christ. Well, I said that we would end early so that we could have a meeting for all those who'd be willing to be on the list. Some have already signed up on a list. We need you, if you have already signed up and you're already part of that list, we need you to come over here. And then those who perhaps would be willing to help, be on. The more we have, the more we can rotate, the easier it is on everyone and the more effective we can be. So not just ladies, if men are cooks, you don't want to eat my cooking. But if men are cooks and want to be in on that too, they'll meet right over here on this far section. Please come on over if you will. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you so much.